Well, as I said at the beginning of Mass today, we all experience two kinds of thirsts in life. And unless we understand the difference between them, we'll always be frustrated. And the first kind of thirst is horizontal thirst. And we desire the good things of this earth. Food, drink, companionship, fun, entertainment, a nice house, a good income, success at work or school. And it's part of our nature to desire these things. And there's nothing wrong with those things. But we also have another kind of thirst, and it's called the vertical thirst. And this is a deeper thirst, a deeper desire. And it's a desire for meaning and purpose in our lives. And desire is also built into our own nature. And there's nothing we can do to destroy this desire, this thirst, this vertical thirst. And just as there's nothing we can do to destroy our natural desires for food and water, but unlike the horizontal thirst, our vertical thirst cannot be satisfied by our own efforts. Only God can satisfy these thirsts that we have. And he created us like that on purpose. And it's as if he put a homing device within each one of us and the very core of our being. And it constantly draws us towards God, towards an intimate personal contact with the eternal, transcendental love of God. And this is why, even when all our horizontal thirsts are satisfied, when we have money, we have success, we have pleasure, we have everything that we wanted here on earth, and yet our hearts are still restless because these cannot and will not satisfy us. Our deeper vertical thirst can't be satisfied by things of this world. The meaning and purpose, which alone will give us true happiness, comes from a friendship and a deep encounter with Jesus Christ. From worldly success, pleasures, and human relationships, when we forget that, when we try to satisfy our vertical thirst first, our horizontal thirst with horizontal stuff, we put ourselves on the road to frustration, tragedy, and disappointment. So if we look at the example in the first reading from the book of Exodus, and during the Exodus, we saw the Jews as they came out and they were in the desert. And they kept looking back. Every time they looked back at their time when they were in Egypt. And they kept complaining about that, about why did you bring us into this desert? Why did you do this to us? And they kept looking at that and they looked back. And even though they were slaves in Egypt and they had no freedom, no religious freedom, they had enough food and water and they had clothing and shelter, and they even had work. Most of their horizontal thirsts were satisfied in Egypt, but as slaves, they didn't have freedom. The Pharaoh forbade them to worship God. Their vertical thirst was left unsatisfied, and so God liberated them through awe-inspiring miracles works through the hands of Moses. But once they were liberated, they found themselves wandering through the desert towards the promised land. And in the desert, their horizontal thirst started acting up. They were free to worship God and to live as a friendship in their friendship with God, but they no longer had the abundance of food, shelter, and worldly comforts that Egypt had provided for them. And what do? They started complaining. That's what Meribah and Massah mean. Meribah is to sin. To sin, and Massa is to complain. And they started complaining. The Israelites forgot that the vertical thirst was infinitely more important than the horizontal. They forgot that if they had God, all else was secondary. God was allowing them to experience earthly hardships so that they would turn their minds towards heavenly things. He wanted them to rearrange their priorities in life so that once they reached the promised land, they wouldn't go back to focusing just on their horizontal thirsts. But they refused. And what does God do? He miraculously gives them water out of a rock, showing them once again that he is Lord both of earth and of heaven, both of the horizontal realm and that vertical realm. And what happens in the gospel today? Jesus has a deep encounter or the Samaritan woman, better said, had a deep encounter with Jesus Christ. That's what the Samaritan woman had spent her life on experiencing, just the horizontal life of the worldly goods. She had five husbands, and the gospel tells us that. And now she was living with one man, another man, and hadn't even bothered to marry him. She was coming to the town well in the middle of the day. And the gospel tells us that it's the hottest time of the day when none of the other women in the town would be coming to the well. She wanted to avoid them because of the way she was living her life. Here's a woman with great spiritual sensitivity, and yet she is living a life of frustration, a life of alienation, a life of loneliness and inner turmoil. She has been trying to satisfy her vertical thirst, which only God can satisfy. With horizontal stuff, she was trying to satisfy that, trying to fill that void of not having God in her life. She tried to fill that void with human love, human comforts, earthly pleasures. And she has learned the hard way that that formula just doesn't work in her life. She has learned that she needs a Savior. She needs to find the spring water welling up for eternal life. She needs to find the gift of God. She needs to discover Jesus Christ in her life. And she does. Jesus reveals himself to her, and her life turns around 180 degrees. She turns back to the village, announcing the good news to anyone who would listen. And we know from the gospel the whole story of how the whole town came to Jesus. She and the people of her town had been wandering through a spiritual desert, their soul slowly dying of a death of frustration, a death of boredom, a death of meaninglessness in their life. And even while they enjoyed this material pleasure and prosperity, they didn't have the fullness of life. But Christ changed all that for that town. We need to look further for the secret of happiness, and that's found in Christ Jesus. He is the rock of the flowing water. He is the one that'll satiate our spiritual thirst and our thirst in this world. And we know this, and that's why we're here today. But the world around us is always trying to challenge you and me in our minds. The world today is trying to convince us that the vertical thirst is just an illusion, the vertical thirst towards God in heaven, that we can really satisfy all our longings of our hearts just with earthly treasures and pleasures. That's one of the devil's favorite lies, that heaven is here on earth. If he can confuse us into thinking that our vertical thirst is just part of our horizontal thirst, then we won't even come and ask for God's guidance and gifts. God is yearning to fill our hearts with his grace even more passionately today than we are yearning for meaning and happiness. God created us with this thirst for his friendship, for divine wisdom, and for everlasting trust and love, not in order to torture us, but to lead us towards the real paradise. But when we let ourselves be seduced by plastic paradises, by fake paradises, indeed, the treasures go undiscovered and our desires go unsatisfied. And so our hearts, as St. Augustine says, our heart is restless in you, O Lord. Our heart is restless until it rests in you. I just want to share and end here with a story about a father who was busy watching a football game on TV. And as he's watching it, his little 4-year-old daughter kept coming up to him and bothering him during this important football game. And every time she kept bothering him, she showed him this magazine with a picture of the United States on there, a map of the whole United States. And she kept asking him questions about what state is this, where do we live? And so the father got a little bit frustrated with this because he's watching this important football game. And so he tears out that page, and what he does is he starts ripping it in little pieces, and he makes a puzzle out of it. And he says, why don't you go off into your room and try to put that together? And once you put it together, show me it. And she goes, okay. She's all excited, and she goes off to her room. And he's thinking, good, I got at least a good hour. And so as he's watching the game, she came back in about 2 minutes. And she had put it all together. She taped it together. And she goes, "Here it is, Dad." And he looked at it and he goes, "It's impossible. You don't know how to read. And how could you have gotten this done so fast?" And she said, "Oh," she goes, "the other side, it was easy because on the other side, there's a face of Jesus. And I was just putting it together until the full, complete face of Jesus came together. And so the other side happened to fall into place as well." And so the moral of the story is the fact that when we allow Jesus into our lives, our whole life is a journey of putting the puzzle pieces together, of putting the face of Christ within us. That we allow, when those pieces of Christ, our love for him, are put in, and we look at the horizontal, the vertical towards Jesus up in heaven, and we put him number one in our lives, the pieces of our lives start falling together, and then we start having the face of Christ reflected in each and every one of us. Let us take a moment today and reflect on that as we continue on in this Lenten season, as we prepare ourselves for the great feast of Easter, but not just for Easter, but for our own life. So that way we're not just barely surviving in life, just living on the horizontal, but we thrive by living the horizontal in unison with the vertical, and we're thriving with God and putting him number one in our lives. Let us ask Jesus today in the Eucharist, when we receive him, ask him, "Jesus, what do I need to do today, concretely today, so that I can become a better, stronger Catholic and I can thrive in this life?"